Professor Barry Shoup, the former executive director of the National Institute for Communicable Diseases and Professor Emeritus of Virology at Wits University. Good afternoon to you, Prof. How do you feel about those numbers?
Good afternoon, Simon. How are you?
Strong.
Yeah, well, those numbers, I think, are still reflecting that we're at a very early stage of the outbreak. They're low. They're certainly much lower than Europe and the United States. That case fatality is about 1.9%, which is pretty low. And also the numbers are fairly low. But I think it's early days. I think the worst can still come.
Yeah, I think our president made that very clear last night where he said it in those exact words, that brace yourselves because the worst is still to come. Prof, today you were going to talk to us about the effect of monoclonal antibodies on the treatment of individuals with COVID. I think you're going to have to start at the very beginning and explain what they are.
Right, yeah. I think this flows from a lot of publicity that the Israelis have developed a specific monoclonal antibody against coronavirus. It's been dubbed as an Israeli breakthrough. So let me give you a bit of the background. You know, when people get infected with an organism such as a virus, they develop a protective mechanism that they produce a protein called antibodies. And the antibodies assist in the recovery from the infection, and they also protect that individual from getting the same infections afterwards, later on. Now, we can mimic that by giving a vaccine, or we vaccinate people, or immunize. Immunization and vaccination, they're really synonyms. So when we give a vaccine, the idea of giving the vaccine is to produce antibodies, to let the body make antibodies, again, to protect the individual when they get exposed to that infectious organism afterwards. Now, that giving of the vaccine is called active immunization. There is another way. What we can do is that we can get antibodies from various sources and give it to an individual, either who's got the illness, to allow them to recover from the illness, or to protect them from subsequent infections. That we call passive immunization, because they're not actually making the antibody, we're actually giving it to them. So you've got active immunization where you stimulate the body to make the antibodies, and passive immunization when you actually give them the antibodies. Is that clear?
Yeah, so, no, that makes some kind of sense.
Okie doke. So where do we get these antibodies for passive immunization? Well, the obvious one is people that have recovered from that infection. You ask them to donate their blood, and as you separate off the plasma, and then you can give that plasma to individuals who've got that infection to allow them to recover from that infection. And that, in fact, has been used. There have been several trials where they've used it for treating severe COVID in various patients. It's been relatively successful, in fact. But obviously, it can't be used in a very wide scale. It's going to be used only a very limited scale. So the other alternative, instead of taking it from a convalescent individual, person that's recovered from infection, you can actually take the cells that make that antibody, and you can grow them in the laboratory or on an industrial scale in a fermenter, and those cells then continue to make that antibody. Now, it's called monoclonal because it's derived from a single cell originally, which then multiplies up and it produces the specific antibody. And what the Israelis have done, unfortunately, they're actually not the very first, but they're certainly one of the first, is to make an antibody which, in fact, neutralizes the virus. In other words, it stops the virus from infecting cells. And that's quite an important breakthrough, because if this can be scaled up on an industrial scale, it can be used certainly to treat patients who are severely ill from COVID. And as I said before, the preliminary trials have been quite promising. Of course, it's going to depend, you know, how extensively they can do it and how widely it will be available. But it is quite an important advance.
Prof, are there dangerous side effects from a treatment such as this? In my absolute naivety, as I understand you, you're saying you're growing an enzyme or whatever it is outside of the body, then injecting it into a patient. I mean, that's a foreign body going into a body. Do we know the effects that that would have or could have?
Well, that's a very, very good question, because, you know, this is not a new technique, passive immunization. It's been actually going for well out of a century. But in the olden days, they used to use animals. They used to vaccinate animals, immunize them, and use the plasma from animals, from horses and sheep and so on, to treat. Yes. Now, that, of course, is a foreign protein, and that was a fairly dangerous treatment. They had quite a high risk. But because these are human cells, it's more akin to humans, and therefore there's less likely to be any reaction to a foreign protein. But, of course, it does carry some risks. It's not entirely innocuous. But, you know, if we're dealing with seriously ill patients, then, of course, one can take that risk.
Sure. Hear you loud and clear. I don't have much time left, Prof, but I was reading about a vaccine that was given to people during the H1N1 virus attack all those years back. And some people claim to have had very significant after effects or side effects.
Yeah, that is one of the problems. Actually, even with our seasonal influenza vaccine, some people do get bad side effects. You know, they feel lousy for quite a few days afterwards. That is one of the problems. It's not a perfect vaccine, but it's a good vaccine.
As you said, at least it's a start. Prof, 4:30 on the nose. Thank you for your input, and we'll chat tomorrow.
Right. Thanks, Simon. Thanks. All the best.
Cheers, Prof.